It is good to be here. We appreciate Brother Randy very much. We talk frequently. We think a lot alike, and iron sharpeneth iron. We get each other thinking about different things, and that's a good thing. And we appreciate Brother Randy, appreciate Jen as well, and appreciate the church here. And it's always good to come up here, and we know that you have prayed, and we're thankful for that. And don't stop. Continue to pray, because if the Lord leaves us to ourselves, it'll be bad. And just pray that the Lord would speak through us. We do desire to be a blessing. Pray that God would speak to each of our hearts this week. I don't know your hearts. Don't know what you need as a church. But I do know the one who has everything that we need. Amen. And we want to, the next few nights, Lord willing, direct our attention to Jesus Christ. Because whether saved or lost, we need Jesus Christ. We that are saved, we need more of Christ. We'd like to turn tonight to the book of Revelation, chapter 5. The setting of the book of Revelation is an island called Patmos. We see this in chapter 1. This was a very small island in the Aegean Sea, about 20 miles off of the western coast of Asia Minor, which today would be modern Turkey. When you think of Patmos, this island, don't think of a resort spot. Don't think of some Caribbean island with beautiful beaches and ocean breezes. Think more along the lines of Alcatraz. Patmos was a volcanic, treeless, rocky island, high, towering cliffs. It was a very lonely place. It was a very isolated place. It was a place where the Romans would send the worst of criminals. It was a place of no escape. Patmos was a place of punishment. It's a place of difficulty. It was a place of hardship, a place of suffering. Patmos would have been a miserable place, a place of desolation, a place of gloom. Roman hostility to Christianity had, of course, erupted into open persecution. And John has been banished to this island, called Patmos. And it was there that he would spend his remaining days. We see in chapter 1 and verse 9, he was there for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So there's John, a victim of oppression, a victim of persecution. He's been mistreated. He's been abused. He's been thrown into an island in the middle of nowhere. And it was on this island that John was empowered and inspired by the Holy Spirit to write the book of Revelation. It was on this island that he saw what he records here in the book of Revelation. And as a foundation for a point that we want to emphasize in this message, if you were to read through the book of Revelation, you would notice such phrases as, I saw, I beheld, I looked, I heard. We see these phrases over and over and over again throughout the book. And it is important to realize that what John wrote what he saw. John wrote what he heard. But more importantly than that, John was made to know what he saw and what he heard. John was made to feel the power and the reality of what he saw and what he heard. And I believe everything that we see here in the book of Revelation, John was made to know it. John was made to feel the power and the reality of what he writes. And we need to keep that in mind as we read our text. In Revelation chapter 5, we'll read the first 6 verses. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, reverberating throughout heaven, who is worthy? Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able or was qualified to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much. This shows that John felt. He felt the reality of what he was seeing. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders, the 24 elders, said unto me, weep not. And he felt that. He felt the power of that voice. Weep not. Then there's instruction. Behold. Weep not. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed, hath conquered, hath overcome, to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, sent forth in all the earth. I want to take the main thought of the message this evening from verse 6. And we just want to take our thought from 2 phrases in this verse, and we'll combine those 2 phrases. And in the midst stood a lamb.
Amen.
And in the midst stood a lamb. I want to speak tonight on in the midst. There stands the prevailing Lamb of God. Consider, first of all, the experience of John here. Again, keep in mind that this was very real. Keep in mind that John not only saw, but he felt. He felt the power. He felt the reality of what he was seeing. In chapter 4, the heavens are opened. John sees a magnificent throne. He sees one sitting upon that throne, even more magnificent than the throne. He sees a heavenly host, and this heavenly host is gathered around the throne, and they're worshiping the one who sits upon that throne. And they're singing the praises of the one who occupies that throne. Chapter 5 is a continuation of what happened in chapter 4. And in chapter 5, John sees God holding a seven sealed book in his right hand. And this book contains the final judgments of God. And we see the contents of this book throughout the book of Revelation. And we see then in John 5 and verse 2 that he heard a thundering voice of an angel. From verse 3, we learn that amongst all the sinless angels and amongst all the redeemed, none were qualified and none were deserving to carry out the judgments of God. None were qualified and none were deserving to be the administrator of God's purposes. And John was made to know this, and John was made to feel this very, very, very deeply, and this caused him much lamentation. This caused him great grief. He says in verse 4, "And I wept much." I believe John is at the point of despair. No one in heaven is worthy to open this book and to be the administrator of God's purposes. So we read in verse 4, "And I wept much." And then in verse 5, as John was weeping, while he's weeping, he hears these words, "Weep not." That is, John, do not despair. John, there's no reason to feel defeated. John, there's no reason to be downhearted. John, weep not. And then he receives some instruction. "Weep not. Behold." Behold. That is, "John, I want you to see something. Turn your attention over here, John. Behold. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed. He has conquered. He has overcome to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." In other words, John, do not despair. There is one who has triumphed. John, I want you to behold him. John, I want you to concentrate on him. So in this time of lamentation and grief, John's attention is drawn to God's provision, a lamb, Jesus Christ. This lamb is triumphant. This lamb is the reigning Christ. And as he looked to see, in verse 6, he says, "And I," that's personal, "I beheld," that is, "I observed and lo." And what follows the word "lo," that's a shout of exclamation. So it gets louder. "And lo, in the midst, stood a lamb." And John personally saw that. Now notice, the Lamb is alive. The Lamb is upright. He's standing. And the Lamb is victorious. He has prevailed. John also described that what he saw was a lamb as it had been slain. That is, this lamb has the wounds of death. These words, of course, speak of God's love. Speak of God's grace. Speak of the price that was paid for our souls. John was made to see and to feel the glory of the Lamb. And the result was John stood in awe. John stood in wonder. Because 26 times after what he saw here, 26 times, After verse 6, John refers to Christ as the Lamb of God throughout the book of Revelation. In other words, John was absolutely captivated by this Lamb of God. John was absorbed with Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. Following this sight of the Lamb, Jesus Christ standing in the midst, we read in verse 7 that this Lamb came and took the book, and John heard and felt the reverberating sound of a concert in heaven. And they're singing, "Worthy, worthy is the Lamb." This was the experience of John. Now, you say, "Oh, I would love to experience that." Well, we have. We have, to some extent. What John experienced, we experienced in salvation. In saving our soul, God caused us to know, and God caused us to feel. I not only knew that I was a sinner and a violator of God's law, I felt it. We were made to know and to feel that we were sinners, that we were violators of God's law. We were made to know and to feel that we were rebels against the authority of God. And God caused us to know and to feel that we were guilty before God. I not only knew that, I felt it. And God caused us to know, and God caused us to feel, that we were worthy, we were deserving of condemnation. And God caused us to feel our sins pressing down upon us. And God caused us to feel, to know and to feel the vileness of our sins, the filth of our sins. And He caused us to know and He caused us to feel that we were afar off from God. And it was made known to us, and we felt that we were in darkness, and that we were enslaved and under the power and dominion of sin, and under the power and dominion of Satan. In other words, you go back, when God was dealing with you concerning your salvation, you were brought to the end of yourself. You were brought to a point of despair. And like John, we wept much. We were brought to a point of despair. But we were also brought to see that in the midst of our sin, in the midst of our guilt, in the midst of our bondage, in the midst of our darkness, in the midst of our hopelessness, in the midst of all of our desperate needs, there stood the Lamb of God. We saw Him. We saw Him clearly. And if you're here tonight and lost, oh, you need to know that you are a sinner, that you have violated the law of God. You need to feel that. But I trust tonight that you would also see in the midst of it all, in the midst of all your sin, there stands the holy, the spotless, the sinless, pure, living Lamb of God. And He stands in the midst of it all, victorious. Victorious over sin. Victorious over death. Victorious over the grave. Victorious over the world. Victorious over Satan. We see God's provision. God brought us to a point of despair, and then He pointed our eyes to God's only provision and sacrifice for our sins. So we have experienced what John experienced. But since that day, since the day God saved our souls. Since that day that we were made to see and know and feel the power and the reality of in the midst stood a Lamb. We all have this crippling, debilitating tendency to separate and to alienate Christ from the circumstances of our life. We all have this tendency to make Christ irrelevant to our circumstances, to our present. What John experienced here, we need to continually experience for ourselves every single day. And I beheld, in the midst, stood a Lamb. That needs to be our everyday experience. Oh, how we need our attention drawn to in the midst. There he is. There he is. Again, I don't know your hearts tonight. I don't know what you need spiritually. But I hope and pray that whatever your condition is, whatever circumstances that you find yourself in this evening, that you could see. And in the midst of it all, look real close, and there he stands, the prevailing Lamb of God. Again, we don't know your needs, but I do know this. In this building, there are more needs than any of us know. There are physical needs. There are spiritual needs. There are emotional needs. This is true every time God's people assemble. There are more needs than you and I will ever know. And there are cares. Right now, there are cares. Right now, there are burdens. Right now, at this very moment, there are difficulties. And there are problems. It can be health problems. It can be marital problems. It can be children problems. It can be financial problems. It can be job-related problems. But I guarantee you tonight that there are problems. There are problems. And there are sorrows. There are sorrows that we all have. And there are heartaches. And there are situations right now. There are situations that are overwhelming. And there is some anguish. And there is distress. There are trials. There are tribulations. There are pressures. We feel pressures. There may be some confusion. What do I do? I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. There is anxiety. We can deny it all we want to, but we have worries. We're anxious about some things. There are disappointments. We've all had disappointments. And there's going to be more. There are disappointments. In some cases, there may be chaos. There may be turmoil. There are temptations. There are clouds. There are storms. There are those who face taunting and intimidating giants in your life. There are battles that we fight every day. There are struggles. There are struggles going on right now, I guarantee it. If you have just a few people, they're struggles. These are things that are always going on. There are obstacles. And sometimes those obstacles seem to be insurmountable. But there are obstacles. There are some steep mountains to climb. There are some valleys that some may be in right now. There are some rocky roads that some may be traveling right now. There may be darkness. There may be loneliness. Again, people can be in the midst of a crowd and still be very, very lonely. So there may be loneliness as well. There are those who perhaps are dealing with change, dealing with upheaval, and facing uncertainty. Again, these are circumstances that are always present. And make no mistake about it. There are some, I'm talking about in this building tonight, that are in the depths. And they take on a spirit of doom. A spirit of defeat. There are those who may find themselves in the desert. There are those who may be in a very, very empty place. There are those who, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, find themselves in a furnace. There are those facing what appears to be dead ends. That is, you've gone so far, and it's a dead end. There are those who are trapped. There are those who are stuck. And amongst God's people today, there is some fear. There is some fear amongst the people of God. But of all these circumstances that we just mentioned, every single one of us at this very moment find ourselves in one or many of these places. We all are experiencing right now. I'm not talking about having experienced it. We are all right now experiencing some of these things. And these situations are very real. And they're real. Even if we imagine it, it's still real to us. So they're very, very real. But whatever it is that is going on in your life right now, at this present moment, and whatever it is that may happen in the future, behold, in the midst, Amen. In the midst of it all, there He stands. There He is. He's living. He's victorious. He is the Lamb of God. This is what we need to see. We need to see in the midst of it all, whatever is going on in your heart right now, whatever is going on in your mind right now, behold, in the midst, there He is. There He is. He hasn't left us. He's in the midst. And John was brought to see clearly and distinctly that in the midst stood a lamb. He was not only brought to see this, he was brought to know and feel the power and the reality of the prevailing Lamb of God standing in the midst. Yes, problems are real. Temptations are real. Trials are real. We do not deny that. They're all very, very real. But I want to tell you about something that is even more real than your problem, more real than your trial, and that is, in the midst, there He stands. And that's what we need to feel the reality of. We need to feel the reality of, in the midst of it all, there He stands. And I ask you tonight, again, whatever it is, it's in your heart, whatever it is that's in your mind, whatever situations you might be facing, whatever circumstances you might find yourself in, I ask you tonight, can you see Him? Can you see Him? Look real close. You say, oh, I can't see Him. Keep looking. Because He's there. He's there. Keep looking. Because in the midst of wherever you are, there He stands. The Almighty, the Eternal, the Immortal, the Immutable, the Infinite, Omniscient, All-Sufficient Creator and Sustainer of all. There He is. And He stands in the midst of wherever we are. The Heir of all things. The Great I Am. The bread and the water of life. The true and faithful one. There He stands. He's victorious. He's above all. He's over all. He's beyond all. And there He stands in the midst of whatever it is. Wherever we might find ourselves. And He stands there. And He's greater. He's bigger. He's stronger than any problem. He's greater than any trial. He's greater than any difficulty. He's greater than any need. He's greater than any river you might have to cross. He's greater than any mountain you might have to climb. He's greater than any challenge you might have to face. He's greater and bigger than any giant that you face tonight. We need to see Him. We need to see Him. He's greater than any storm that you might be called upon to endure. He's greater than any wilderness that you might have to go through. Can you see Him? There He is. He's in the midst. Can you see Him? Not only that, can you feel the reality of it? Whatever it is that's going on in your life right now, whatever your present circumstances, however real they may be and however keenly you may feel them, behold, there in the midst, there in the midst of it all, is your Savior. There in the midst of it all is your Redeemer. There in the midst of it all is your Shepherd. There in the midst of it all is your Advocate. There in the midst of it all is your Friend. In the midst of the wind, He's our hiding place. In the midst of the tempest, He's our covert. In the midst of the dry land, He's the rivers of water. In the midst of a weary land, He is a great rock. There He stands. He's in the midst. There He stands in the midst of death to bring light. He stands in the midst of darkness to bring light. He stands in the midst of need, whatever your need is. There He stands, and He's the provision. He is God's provision. He stands in the midst of thirst as refreshment. He stands in the midst of brokenness to bring mending. There isn't anything broken that He can't fix. And He stands in the midst of it all. He stands in the midst of hopelessness. Perhaps you feel hopeless. Look in the midst of hopelessness and you will find there is one standing there that brings hope. In the midst of weakness, if you look real carefully, you'll see the one standing in the midst of weakness to bring strength. In the midst of sorrow, there He stands to bring joy. And on and on and on we could go. In the midst of discontentment, there He stands to bring contentment. In the midst of fear, look real close. He's there.
Amen.
And He stands there to give courage. In the midst of challenges, we all have challenges. We're challenged every single day. And in the midst of all our challenges, there He is. And He stands in the midst to give us determination and resolve. Stands in the midst of defeat to give victory. Whatever it is, whatever our circumstances might be tonight, we need to see that in the midst of it all is Jesus Christ. This is true if you're saved. This is true if you're a lost sinner tonight. You need to see that in the midst, there stands the prevailing Lamb of God. The truth is, many times our circumstances have greater impact upon us than the one who stands in the midst of it all. And the one who stands in the midst, that's what ought to have the impact upon us. That's what ought to shape our lives. Our circumstances should not shape our lives. What shapes our lives is the one who stands in the midst of it all. Oh, how we need to see this Lamb of God. Because you see, in Him, all fullness dwells. All fullness. Not just fullness, all fullness. And there He stands. He stands in the midst. We need to get a grip of this. More importantly, He needs to get a grip of us. But there He is. In the midst of everything, there He stands. I beheld, and lo, in the midst stood a Lamb. Can you see this tonight? Can you feel the reality of it? Is it real to you? Can you feel the power of it? This is where we find encouragement. This is where we find strength. This is where praise is born.
Amen.
This is where we find assurance. Yes, it may be we may be living in uncertainty as far as our minds are concerned, but in the midst of it all, there He stands. That brings assurance. This is where we find reason for steadfastness. This is where we find reason for resolve. Don't allow, and I know this is easier said than done, but don't allow the circumstances of life to control you. Don't allow the circumstances of life to paralyze you spiritually. Don't allow an antichrist world with its humanistic philosophies, when its humanistic ways distract you and make inroads into your lives and into your homes, robbing you of spiritual ambition, robbing you of spiritual passion, robbing you of spiritual zeal. But behold, In the midst of it all, there he stands. He's living. He's victorious. He's above all. He's over all. He's beyond all. Can you see him? Can you feel the reality of the presence of Jesus Christ? Oh, that this would be a force in our lives. Again, I pray that whatever your circumstances, whatever your circumstances might be tonight, that you might go from here captivated with the sight of Jesus Christ standing in the midst of it all. And he stands there and he has everything you need. He has everything that you need. He has everything that your loved ones need. He has everything that your family needs. He has everything that your home needs. Whatever your circumstances, whatever your problems, there he is. He not only has what you need, he is what you need tonight.
Amen.
Whatever it is, he's what we need tonight. I pray that you can see him. See him in the midst of wherever you are. You see.